The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
If you open your Sunday Independent today, you will find the Life magazine within it. And on the front page of the Life magazine is a picture of our own Ciara Kelly in a blue trench coat with a pair of crutches in her hand. And the headline says, I got a new lease of life and a second chance. And she is with us this morning. Morning, Ciara.
Good morning, Anton.
Now, I remember when I was only in the Place of Wet Week and we were doing the we were doing the Round Ireland summer tour, and you were on, I think, your last day of 100 days of walking, if I'm rightly. We were on the Salt Hill Promenade and I was walking in the promenade following you, and you were marching along at some pace, looking entirely healthy and well. Within about 6 months, you had found yourself in a position where you discovered the tops of your hips were necrotic and you needed massive surgery.
Well, when you put it like that. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I went from being somebody who was very active, actually. I would have walked a huge amount, and before that I would have run. And that would have been how I even saw myself and all that, and I quite liked being active, to somebody who genuinely couldn't walk 100 metres without hobbling really badly. Like, you may have noticed, you saw me walking on Salt Hill, marching along, but I'm sure you've also seen me over the last few months in the office, hobbling from my desk to make a cup of coffee. Like, literally, I couldn't walk any distance without significant difficulties. And the tops
and
of my...
And is it mobility or is it pain?
It was both. It was both. The pain was bad, and I'm not a wuss for pain. I would have a reasonably high pain threshold, so the pain was pretty bad all the time, but also there was a significant difficulty with mobility, because if you could imagine, I had sort of bone on bone was what I had, so my hips were like two pepper grinders. They were literally grinding down. They actually made me taller after the surgery. They gave me back 2 centimetres because my hips had ground down so badly, they said, that it was going to be problematic going forward for my spine and all sorts of things. So they literally made me taller again, which was quite nice.
Is it a genetic predisposition? Is it bad luck?
It was bad luck. I developed really, really quickly a condition called psoriatic arthritis, where my hips went from being fairly normal. I did have a few little problems, and psoriatic arthritis sometimes does attack where you have a little problem. I had a little problem, but not a big deal at all, in that I'm hypermobile, what we used to call double jointed. So I'm very bendy and flexible. And people do get a little bit more wear and tear on their joints from that. But that wasn't an issue at all at the time. But I went in a period of a couple of months from being someone who could walk for 2 hours a day to I could hardly get to the end of the road. And I, like, you know, one of my kids said to me yesterday, "Hey, Mum, I just noticed you hardly ever ask me to go upstairs and get something anymore. You were always doing that." And I said, "Do you wonder why?" And he goes, "Was that the hips?" And I was like, "Yes, it was. Going upstairs was a big deal. So I'd say run up and get such and such a thing. Whereas now I just do it myself again."
But I'm intrigued that it was that precipitous
really
progression.
Fast. One hip went, my right hip went, and I started to limp quite badly. And I was like, "What the hell is this?" And then my left hip went as well in reasonably quick succession, like a couple of months later. And then I was in real trouble, because if you have one bad hip, you can limp. It's hard, but you can. But when you've two bad hips, I walked like Shrek. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't walk at all. I was kind of this weird gait, which was like sort of, I can't even describe, shuffling weird gait that I couldn't do. And that went on for months while I tried to get my head around the fact that this was real, and that I kept thinking, because I have that kind of mentality, sure, this will blow over, or this will pass, or this will come around again. And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse.
Odd for a doctor.
Yeah, I'm kind of a determinedly chipper type, you know, and I'm very optimistic. I always believe that everything's going to come good, even when evidence.
Surely the medical degree would cause you to think, hang on a minute, hips don't self-heal.
Yeah. Denial is a very powerful thing, and I was definitely leaning heavily into denial. That was the first thing. But also doctors, even doctors, tend not to view themselves and their own health objectively. They tend to either minimise everything or catastrophise everything. And I was definitely falling into the minimising everything camp.
The other thing I imagine that must have been a factor was you are significantly outside the age group where you expect hip replacements to occur.
Yeah, although they are doing them younger and younger. But certainly I would be much younger than average. And when I went in and had them done, I'd say I was the youngest person on the ward by maybe a decade or more in the orthopaedic ward I was in. So So yes, there was that. And because I was active, the younger people do sometimes need hip replacements, but they're often people who would be quite heavy or things like that. So they have more wear and tear on their joints. I didn't see this coming at all. And it came so quickly. It came on me so quickly that I went from being, it sort of changed my life, like in a really short window of time. And not for the better, to be fair.
Change your life exclusively because of the mobility impact, or change your life in terms of how you viewed yourself, in terms of how you felt?
I think that's a really interesting question, because I think it changed my life in terms of my mobility. I couldn't do anything, and I started saying no to all sorts of things that I liked doing, like going places, seeing people, you know, gigs, because if I had to stand. I mean, I got to the point where, and this is when I knew I was in major trouble, where if I had to clean my teeth, I would sit on the edge of the bath. Because standing for, I don't know how long you clean your teeth, where I'd say I do for about probably less than a minute. I'm sure that's probably not long enough. But for it was painful. So I'd sit down on the edge of the bath to clean my teeth because it hurt to stand. So I was avoiding doing everything. And so, you know, in terms of my life, but when it started to really get in on top of me, and it did eventually get in on top of me, maybe, I'm thinking maybe a year and a half into it, I struggled on like an idiot, but about that long into it, I went, my life was, it felt like it was narrowing all the time. And I started to kind of go, Christ, maybe this isn't temporary. Christ, maybe this is my life now. Maybe this is what I am and who I am, and that my future is not the future I was expecting to have. And I actually did worry that I was going to be disabled, because I was pretty much disabled. I would have qualified for the car pass thing, because I couldn't walk 100 metres. I couldn't walk at all.
At a certain point then, you come to the decision to have the surgery. We are used to talking about hip replacements as if it is a relatively normal thing. It is still very significant surgery. And again, with the medical background, I assume this puts you very much aware of disease risks, of surgery complications risks, and of the prospect that you could come out worse than you went in.
I was worried, because I needed to do it not once but twice. And my surgeon, who is a brilliant surgeon, by the way, a guy called Dennis Collins, I pleaded with him, can I do it all at once?
Do the two together at once.
Because I was like, partly because I'm self-employed, and I was like, I can't take the time off. Like literally, can I do them both at once? And he laughed and went, ha, no. So he dismissed that completely. So I said, how quick can I do them? Now that I've taken the decision, now that I've gotten my head round, and I was nervous and I was afraid, like anybody else going into surgery, as I say, and I needed it to go well, not once but twice. I said, how quick of a time frame can we do this? And he said the minimum I would do them between the two is 12 weeks. And we did them 12 weeks apart.
I used the term fully healed loosely.
Oh yeah, no, it wasn't.
But one was still being in convalescence while you went in to do the other.
Yeah, completely.
How long ago was this?
I had one done in September and one done in December. And so, like literally, you know, once I decided I wanted it done kind of yesterday, because I wanted to get on with it. For me, the challenge was getting my head around the fact that I knew I was going to have to do this. And then once I'd accepted that, I just wanted it over and I wanted it done and I was all in. But I was nervous, because I know people. Now, by the way, for anyone listening, hip replacements are generally really successful surgeries. So I want to reassure anyone of that. But I do know people who they've gone wrong. I do know people that were in fact worse off afterwards, or never walked properly again, or had a permanent limp, or had those kinds of things.
Well, this is the case with any surgery.
Yes.
If you're getting opened up, there are risks.
And you know, there is that. So not once but twice, but yes, it all thankfully went well.
Texts say, as a medical student currently undergoing orthopaedic surgical rotation, let's just say even I was slightly squeamish at just how industrial hip replacements are. Drilling, hammering and yanking. It's brutal. How some patients undergo it without sedation is beyond me. I assume you got happily knocked out, did you?
Well, I didn't have a GA. I went twice without. I had a spinal, which is a bit like what you have if you're having a baby.
So you're awake?
I was sedated. I was dopey. But I was kind of awake because they were wheeling me out from the second one. I woke up and I was thinking, if I had woken up 3 minutes earlier, they'd have still been operating. But I often think Steve Carell has had a hip replacement, and he often talks about when he was being wheeled in for the surgery, he wasn't asleep yet either. And he said the last thing he remembers is somebody pulling down the front of a helmet over their face and him going, what the hell is about to happen? But it is. It's like, dare I say it about my orthopaedic colleagues, my former colleagues, it's like carpentry. Do you know what I mean? Literally, there's drills, saws, hammers, nails, screws.
If you're an offended orthopaedic surgeon, 53106 or 0740.
They know this is what they do.
Talk to us then about the effect that it has had.
Well, the effect beforehand was obviously really significant on my mobility and everything. What it really also did, and I didn't realise this till afterwards, now that I'm back well, was it had terrible effect on my energy. I was wrecked. I was wrecked all the time, and I didn't really put two and two together and kind of go, oh, this will all be fixed too. So the effects,
you do get up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I do. So I kind of put it all down to that, but I still get up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I am now much better getting up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning than I was. The effects now are truthfully, I'm 3 months after the second one? Minimal, and so minimal, in fact, and I hope my orthopaedic surgeon, if he's listening, puts his fingers in his ears. I was out on Friday night, Anton, and I probably shouldn't be admitting this on air, and I was dancing on a chair. So with my double hip replacement.
Oh, good. That's what they recommend.
So I was doing all the physio you could imagine. And like, that's how normal I am now. I can walk for miles. I was away last weekend. It was the first time I've been on a kind of a city break in about 2 years because I couldn't walk. And I walked for 6 or 7 hours a day, every day for 3 days. I was in Venice, a beautiful place. And all you do in Venice is walk because there's no other way apart from boats. And I had no pain, no twinges, no restrictions, no difficulty, no limp, no nothing. And
I know
I'm
slightly,
back, you know.
It's a slightly daft question, but can you feel the
no,
fact?
Not now. Not really.
There's no sensation of it being alien or artificial.
For a long time there was. When you get it, first of all, you know, it's sore and it's swollen. And for anyone who's about to have one or has just had one, I came home and I had the right hip done, first of all. And when I came home, it was really big, my hip. So I was totally lopsided, totally asymmetrical. So I had a normal hip on this side and then this big roundy kind of, you know, hip on this, big Kardashian style hip on the right side. And I have to say, I was horrified. I was like, going, oh my God, look at that. I've got one huge hip. I've got one huge leg. And I was like, and the drama queen of me was like, is this the way it's going to be? Now I'm going to have one huge. And then I was like, oh no, I'm going to have two huge ones because I'm getting another one. But they went back down to the normal size and I stopped being able to feel it and I stopped being able to feel anything weird about it. And now they feel entirely like normal hips.
What about scarring?
I had a posterior surgery. There is anterior and posterior. And my scars are both, I'm not very good. Would you say that's
about 2.5, 3 inches?
It's about 3 inches, maybe 3.5 inches. Tiny, skinny little line.
I should say, by the way, that you mimed that.
Because I was thinking more, I'm not a very good judge of what that is. So I was showing Anton a length.
Using my index and my thumb.
But I'd say about 3.5 inches. One tiny, skinny, straight line. Like, maybe I won't be a hip model again. Although maybe I will. Who knows? It takes all sorts. But they're subtle. They're irrelevant. And like, would I go out in a swimming togs again? Absolutely, they are nothing.
What then about prognosis? Are these yours now through until you call it quits permanently at everything, or will you likely to have to get them swapped out?
That's another really good question. The reason they're doing them on younger people now than they used to is they used to say you get 10 or 15 years out of a hip. And therefore, if you're having one in your 40s, you might need another one in your 50s or your 60s. And they can't keep doing them over and over and over again. So they used to say, put it off as long as you can, hobble for as long as you can. They're doing them younger now because the hips have changed. My hip is not just titanium, although I do beep going through airports, it turns out, because there is some titanium. But the actual, if you imagine a hip is a ball and socket joint, the ball is made of ceramic in my hip. So it's like a teacup. And the socket is made of a kind of a plastic type. It's like a nylon-y plasticky thing. And the reason they've done that is there is no friction. And what they are saying is these hips, the hips I have, will last for 25 years to indefinitely, very positively, because they're saying that 25 years, because that's as long as they've been using these ceramic hip replacements and they're not wearing out as yet. So very possibly I could be dancing on the tables into my 70s or 80s.
No, we look forward to witnessing it. Texas say, I had two hips replaced together and 5 weeks later, knee replacement. It has transformed my life. Another, Kira, it means so much to hear you talk about this. I got severe PA a few months after my son was born. I'd never heard of the condition prior to developing it. It was agony. I couldn't go downstairs or do anything. Yeah. And I ignored it for months, thinking it would go away as quickly as it came, which it didn't. Thanks to a high-tech prescription, no surgery, thankfully, I'm back on my feet and feeling good. But my eyes are open now to the debilitating nature of arthritis. Glad to hear you're feeling
better. I should actually say that I'm also on I take an injection to keep the thing that caused this at bay. And I have no symptoms from that at all. And my hips don't lie.
Ciara, thank you so much for coming in, because I am conscious there's only 2 days out of the week when you're not in here. So it is very good of you to come all the way in. And if you want to hear Ciara, obviously, News Talk Breakfast, herself and Shane, every day of the week at horrible o'clock in the morning. Another saying, I'm currently in the midst of this procedure. Similarly, I was very optimistic, a bit too much, and I was in denial. Great to hear the positive outcome Ciara had from the op. Very reassuring. And again, if you want to hear more detail and see pictures of Ciara with the new hips, not that you're there, you're revealing them in the Life magazine, but you're in the Life magazine.
All I'm short of.
Ciara, thank you so much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.